Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
On behalf of the American people, I want to extend my warmest wishes for Diwali to all who celebrate this auspicious holiday. Diwali is the Festival of Lights, a time when members of some of the world's great faiths celebrate the triumph of good over evil.
As a Christian, our people are trying to flee from Iraq, afraid from persecution, from killing.
The group that really seems to have shifted is Catholic voters. This year, Catholics voted for Republicans over Democrats by a 10-point margin.
So they go to the Build-A-God shop, and then they kind of pick and choose the attributes of God that more resonate with their personality and tastes and likes and dislikes.
Indiana truck drivers love Issues Etc.
It's difficult to imagine a time when the ruler of the world, or at least the known world at the time, was considered to be not only a civil and political ruler, but also a ruler of the church in some sense, and deeply concerned about divisions in the church and the unity of the church. But just this was the case with one in the 6th century, Justinian, among many other Christian rulers and confessors of Christ. The church remembers Justinian on this day, and we will as well here on Issues Etc. for the first 10 minutes or so on this Friday afternoon, November the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest for the first few minutes. We'll talk about 6th century Christian emperor and confessor Justinian. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us after that. We'll talk about media coverage of Pope Benedict's trip to Spain. You might have heard it was a disaster. Well, Colleen says not so much. A lot of it depends on how the media covers the Pope's sayings and how people react to them. Then, as usual on this Friday afternoon, it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've picked four sound bites for you. Now it's your turn in about 40 minutes or so here to pick soundbite of the week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote for soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
What can modern-day rulers, so to speak, like, for instance, President Barack Obama, what could they learn by doing a little history lesson on men like this 6th century emperor Justinian?
Sure. Well, don't get into currency wars with large empires to your east, because you'll get taken to the cleaners. Be one thing to learn. Justinian, I mean, he rules at a very interesting time in history. To kind of put him in some context, he's in the early 6th century. So Christianity has been, you know, the established religion of the Roman Empire for 200 years, but that empire has kind of fallen apart. Through Constantine and then his sons, through their intrigues into the church and using the church as a political tool, one unintended consequence of that was that all the tribes of northern Europe, the Germanic tribes, all became Arians. So they're Christian in the sense that, you know, kind of historically this faith comes from, you know, an outgrowth of Christianity, but they're heretics. They don't acknowledge Jesus as God in the flesh. And it's all those tribes who end up conquering Western Europe. And so at the time of Justinian, say, just to give it a round number, in the year 530, he is emperor of the Roman world. He's the last Roman emperor to speak Latin as his native language. He was born in Serbia. But he's ruling the eastern Greek half of the Roman Empire from the city of Constantinople. And he takes very bold steps to reassert the unity of the Roman Empire. He starts by trying to ward off the Persians to his east. That's what I was talking about, ticking off the folks, the giant empires to your east. He ends up buying a peace with them by giving the Persian emperor 11,000 pounds of gold. That's a lot of gold. And then he goes off on conquest to his west. He does eventually reconquer northern Europe, or excuse me, northern Africa, Christian Africa, some of Spain, some of Gaul, that is France, and all of the Italian peninsula and the Illyrian, you know, the former Yugoslavia. But it's kind of questionable. His motives are kind of questionable. He is very devout in his faith, but sometimes it's a monophysite faith, a heretical faith. He's got a lot of spunk. He lays out Roman law for the first time in one big book called the Corpus Juris Civilis, or sometimes it's just called Justinian's Code. That's probably his most lasting effort. He married a hooker. He's an interesting guy.
Okay. He doesn't sound that far different from our politicians today, really.
Well, there you go.
I want you to – a couple of thoughts here from you. First is Justinian appears, at least in the timeline of history, to be the last of the Christian Roman emperors who had the luxury of dealing with the world minus Islam. Islam will arise about 50 years after he ends his reign. Talk about that, if you would.
Sure. The conquest of Islam, basically, is, if you can just think of it as a round century from 620 to 720, completely changes the face of the world. What was once a unified Christian North Africa and Middle East is wiped out within 50 years. Within that whole century, Islam has come all the way into Spain and then into France, and is finally defeated at the Battle of Tours in I think that's 732. And then Islam is in Spain until 1492. The Islamic armies via the Turkish Empire threaten the city of Vienna all the way into the 16th century. I mean, so the whole world changes with those Islamic conquests. But life in Constantinople actually kind of goes on more or less as normal for a good 400 or 500 years, because essentially what happens from Constantinople's perspective, from the Roman Empire of the East, from that perspective, is that your great threat to the East, which used to be the Persian Empire, is simply replaced by your great threat to the East and South, the Islamic Empire. And so a new kind of balance of power comes out, but it's very, actually very politically, it's very similar to the situation beforehand. Theologically, it's very different, because now you have this muscular, strident theology to your south and east that really makes a point of trying to convert Christians, and so that's very different.
Also, if you would speak about, and it probably doesn't have much to say about Justinian himself, but very early into his reign, there is an ecumenical council held there in the capital of Constantinople, the Fifth Ecumenical Council there. Anything happen of note during that?
Well, it is an interesting council. The main topic is trying to sort out once and for all what it means to say that Jesus is really God and really man. The Monophysite controversy is a controversy about, boy, it's hard to think of it anymore as anything more than a war of words. It is more than that, but boy, is it subtle. Because it comes down to the question of, do you say Jesus is God and man, and do you talk about that by saying he's two natures in one person? That's the way that's become accepted to talk about who Jesus is, or do you talk about who Jesus is as saying he has one composite nature? And Justinian himself, that's divine and human, Justinian in himself kind of bounces back and forth. His wife, Theodora, evidently has Boniface tendencies. It's a mess. But it's interesting to note that today, the Eastern Orthodox churches and the non-Chalcedonian churches, once called the Monophysite churches, in the early 1990s, they made peace. And so that's a very interesting document to read. I'm going to forget the name of it right now, but you can get on the web and look for the this unity document, you know, between the Orthodox and the old Monophysite churches. Very interesting. But the other thing that the Second Council of Constantinople did in 553 is they condemned they anathematized Origen, this great mind of the second century, and very influential. But he was very influential in Egypt, which is where a lot of these Monophysites were. And so they kind of went out of their way to, condemn this guy who's been dead for, 350 years.
When we come back from this break, a couple more questions for Pastor Heath Curtis. We're talking about 6th century Christian Emperor Justinian on this Friday afternoon, November the 12th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. If you'd like to vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week, you can do so at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. After a few more minutes with Pastor Curtis, Colleen Carol Campbell will join us. We'll talk about the media coverage of Pope Benedict's trip to Spain. If you were watching television or reading the popular press, you might have gotten the impression that the Pope was very unpopular there for his views on homosexuality and on abortion. We'll find out if that's true in about 5 minutes here on Issues Etc. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, IssuesETC.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Talk about 6th century Christian Emperor Justinian, remembered by the church on Sunday. Pastor Curtis, one more question for you. You have several times in our conversations here on Issues Etc., talked about kind of the two-edged sword that is the marriage and legalization of Christianity, the marriage of power, political power, and the Christian church at this time. Is it pretty much proven, your theory about this, by the time we get to the 6th century and Justinian?
I think so. Just another anecdote that kind of expresses that. The biggest and most long-lasting physical legacy of Emperor Justinian is the church Hagia Sophia, which is, of course, now a mosque in Istanbul. And it's a beautiful church. It's very inspiring to the faith. Many other things that happen in church history happen there. It's this glorious, beautiful church. But he was able to build that because he got in a political spat with some political rivals, crushed it with a very heavy hand, killed perhaps 30,000 people in this little miniature civil war. And in all that rioting and the warfare, half of Constantinople burned. And the emperor claimed that land and built this church. So, I mean, that kind of gets across this great the great ambiguity and tragedy of the state kind of usurping the church and claiming for itself a role of rulership in the church. We, in the modern world, especially North America, should be very thankful that we are free from the shackles of the state when it comes to honoring God and the church. We're much, much better off in that sense than the Christians of Justinian's time.
Finally, then, with only 30 seconds, Heath, why does the church set aside a day like this Sunday to observe the person and work of 6th century Christian ruler Justinian?
It is almost certainly because of his unification of Roman law that then is the basis of church law. It brings great order to the church and allows the church to be to fill a power vacuum and to grow very important in Europe in subsequent centuries. And that's really why the church remembers him. It's because of his law code.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.